Hey, Dr. B, can you hear me?
Yes, brother.
Can you see me?
I can hear you and see you.
Okay, cool. Where the heck are you?
In San Pedro, yeah. And it's winter.
I thought you were in the snow or something.
Well, kind of. And
might as well be, right?
Yep. And during this, you may hear some yelling, screaming, and laughing.
Oh, that's perfectly understandable.
We're babysitting my buddy's 9-year-old kid, and he's got autism.
Okay.
So his communication is a little bit less than optimal.
Oh my gosh, that's okay. That's all right. That's all good.
Boy, is that politically correct?
Oh man, right? You jumped through all those hoops.
Yeah. Well, he's right now. He's on the boat down there, splashing in the water.
Oh my gosh, that water is like 60 degrees too.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and freezing.
I mean, remember when you were a kid and you didn't want to come in, even though mom said you got to come in.
Oh yeah,
it was freaking freezing. Yeah,
I know. Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, so I think that you're coming in good. Are you on a Wi-Fi connection? You look crisping.
Yeah, yeah. I've got my hotspot.
Dude, it's coming in really good. All right.
Oh, thank goodness.
Well, thanks for doing this. And I apologize for last week. That was a little bit of an issue, but, we're back and we're ready to go today. So thank you, dude.
Totally cool. Hey, what you getting oxygen?
Oh yeah. No, this is molecular hydrogen.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I have one of those, AquaCure. It makes Brown's gas and, molecular hydrogen. So,
well, it makes sense. I mean, you do too much shit to be normal. To understand that you're hydrogen powered, okay, you just cleared up a lot of things that I had, a lot of questions.
Explained a lot, right?
Oh, hell yes.
That's so funny. All right, cool. I think you're good to go if that's cool with you.
Awesome. Yep.
All right, Doc. Thanks so much, my friend.
God bless you, brother.
And, all right, have a great one.
Give Kate and the kids a hug.
I will, and give Sarah a hug too.
I will. She's downstairs.
Awesome. All right, Dr. B. Thanks, my friend.
Okay, brother. Have a good Sunday.
Thanks. You too.
Okay. So while we're waiting for people to answer questions, I got a friend who's dating a professional sports guy, and he happened to have thoracic outlet syndrome. Anytime you've been diagnosed with a syndrome, I hate when people do quotes, but when they say syndrome, it means they haven't a frigging clue. Okay. What the hell's going on? The outlet of the thoracic is here. Okay. And I'm telling this guy's manager that it's from the forward head carriage, or that the outlet of the thoracic is compromised some way. And 100% of the time it's come from the neck. And so what are the solutions? Inject the shoulder with cortisone, which destroys the joint cartilage. Give the guy steroids, which shrinks swelling, which inflammation is how the body heals. And when you look at professional athletes, these poor guys, they're literally that animals. I mean, it's just do whatever you can to get them on the court. And they're not thinking about what happens 5 years, 6 years, 10 years down the road. It's good. I had a vent because I talked to the guy last night and it was driving me crazy. It's so simple to fix, and you're doing interventions that's going to harm this kid. Well, I mean, kid, you know, if you're, you know, 25, 30 years old, you know, my perspective is a kid. So if anybody has any questions, put your hand up, and DG is going to be really, really pleasant and nice. DG, you're going to be okay. Yeah. You can see he's wearing pajamas and a life jacket. And I'm appropriately dressed. Barbara G.
Hi.
Hello, my dear. What's going on?
I'm pleased to see you again. I haven't been to a doctor for many years, and I really don't want to go. However, I noticed a couple of days ago that there seems to be something on my cheek that just looks different to the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering whether it could be some kind of skin cancer. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I could think of was to go to a dermatologist, but I don't really like to go to a doctor. So I thought I'd ask you your advice.
Okay. Well, when you're looking at it, discoloration means that there's something going on. And in that area, there's the parotid gland underneath. There could be a problem with compromised nerve supply to that area. It could be a tissue production problem. So if you're having 2 to 3 healthy bowel movements a day, you have great sleep patterns. Okay. Then it's, look at building the tissue. So juicing, blending is going to be fantastic with antioxidants. If you ever do get a lesion, a skin cancer starts off with a little tiny round, dot that starts to grow. Cannabis oil on it. It's called Phoenix Tears, is the best thing in the world. Okay. I mean, you just look at Run from the Cure. Yeah. So, and that's literally the name of the movie of this Canadian fella, Rick Simpson, who actually developed skin cancer, and they removed it and they had big old, you know, lesions, and they had to drain it. And he thought there's got to be a better way because he has like 4 more spots. And sure enough, cannabis oil works fantastically well if it's legal in your area, because, you know, you got to really make plants illegal. But also, okay, more than likely, okay, it's none of that stuff. The way that you eliminate scar tissue, the way that you get blood supply to the area, is look at the creams that you're using, the makeup you're using. Those can all block the pores. So, and this is with acne, this is with any kind of skin issue. You get a white cotton cloth, you get regular water, and scrub the heck out of your face everywhere. Okay. And that scrubbing is going to exfoliate the skin. No soap, just a cotton cloth and water. And you're going to rush blood to the area. And as long as you've got healthy blood and good metabolic processes going on, bitching, you're going to see that clear up quick, which is a bummer too. Cause if you have scars that look totally cool and you want to keep them, cause I had a really good one that ran down like this. Oh God, it made me kind of look like a pirate. Okay. Thing's almost gone completely. So if you want to keep a cool scar, scrub everywhere except for the scar. Yeah. I just did self-experimentation to see if it did work, but it does. Okay, my dear.
Okay, thanks. I have another question, and that is that I noticed also within the last week that, how can I say it? Obviously, I'm not skinny mini, you know, I'm not slim, and I have fat in places that I'd rather not have. But what I noticed was that I kind of, on my wrist or at the end of the my arm, where my arm joins my wrist, my hand, I kind of had this, like a fat deposit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't sort of like normal, a fat arm. It just seemed to be like a fat deposit just at that spot. Mm-hmm. I put a watch on and it looked really weird.
It could be a lipoma, which is a fatty tumor, which is super common. It, as long as you're looking at, and the 3 stressors, the physical, chemical, emotional stressors, physical stressors, any issue with the arm, and I'm talking like skin, numbness, tingling, carpal tunnel syndrome, elbow rotator cuff problems, all of that stuff, it's all secondary to the neck. So if you're looking at the structure and you got a decent curve in the neck, beautiful. You got good muscle balance of the forearm, beautiful. Okay. Then look at liver issues. Okay, so the liver is a filter, and we're in such a toxic environment that the liver's working their tail feathers off. So this is going to be absolutely essential to, there's a question in the chat of liver and gallbladder flushes. That's a good thing to do on a regular basis. And also, it's kind of cool too, because the question in the chat is, are you a fan of liver and gallbladder flushes? Yes. And also, is the best thing to for a kidney cleanse? You've got four pathways that your body detoxes. Okay. And the skin, the fatty deposits, things like that. You've got respiration, perspiration, pooping and peeping. Okay. That's why first thing, I get a skin lesion, you're getting 2 to 3 healthy bowel movements a day. That's one of the detox pathways. If you sweat, like let's say you have a sauna or you walk briskly, okay, at least an hour a day with some hand weights so you can get a respiration and start breathing heavy. That just because when you're breathing out a heck of a lot more than carbon dioxide. It's fantastic. So that's, and then pooping and peeping. So sweat, deep breathe, diaphragmatic, get urine production. Make sure urine is light yellow or clear. That means you're hydrating enough. Put a little pinch of sea salt in your water so you get better absorption and you're going to be knocking it out. And it's interesting. We just had an 84-year-old gal that had a port for dialysis and her daughter is aggressive. Her daughter is actually transferring my information to the dialysis doctors and was pissed. Well, she had the port removed and she's off of dialysis. Okay. So kidneys heal. And that's, the four pathways, respiration, perspiration, pooping and peeping, deep sleep, restore the curve in the neck. You would be wonderful, Mamacita.
Sorry, what was that last thing you said?
I said you're going to be wonderful, Mamacita.
Oh. Okay. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, my dear.
I'm a happy cousin.
I love you, dear. Okay, there's a question in there in the chat. The Watchman device for the heart. My mother's doc is pushing it on her. They're leaving her on Eliquis. I don't know which Watchman device for the heart is. I don't know what that is. Open heart surgery, which she'll not survive again. Long history of horrid experience many years ago. She had a stroke last December, and they put her black on blood thinners. I don't believe the Watchman will prevent strokes. That's not going to prevent strokes. Okay. What a stroke is, okay, and strokes, people recover from strokes. And this is for Christina Roosman. A stroke is an interrupt of oxygen to the brain. That's it. Bottom line. When you're in a stress state, the blood becomes thicker. If you've had the COVID shot, blood becomes thicker. So look at the health of the blood is going to be huge. But the things that lead to stroke, blood pressure medications are one of the leading causes of stroke because everybody's blood pressure goes up and down throughout the day. It's here if you are dehydrated. It's here if you're hydrated. Here if you had poor sleep patterns. Here if you had good sleep patterns. So it goes up and down. Well, when you take a chemical to lower that blood pressure from whatever level it is, because it changes throughout the day, then the arteries constrict, kind of like putting your thumb over a hose to elevate the blood pressure. And so that vasoconstriction, if the blood's not healthy or efficient, and one of the ways to check the efficiency of the blood, which this drives me crazy, because blood pressure is a very, very poor method of measuring your health. What I would recommend is looking at the pulse pressure, the difference between the high number and the low number. That's going to tell you the efficiency of the blood and also give you a clue to the stress. A normal human being should be 40 to 60. As you age, it gets closer to the 60 mark. So that means 160 over 100, that difference is 60, and that's called the pulse pressure. And that's a good, healthy, normal pulse pressure. If you have a difference of like 160 over 60, that's a difference of 100. It means the blood, the heart's got to work harder because the blood's not efficient at transferring oxygen, carrying nutrients, doing all the functions that the blood has to do. So you have to look at the health of the blood. A live blood cell analysis would be ideal for everyone. Okay, but if somebody's had a stroke, you want to check it. To just randomly take a blood thinner, you're looking at kidney damage, you're looking at a bunch of other things. To take things like cayenne supplements, that's a blood thinner. Vitamin C is good. Water is the best blood thinner. Okay. Because you need healthy, efficient blood. You don't need thin blood. But getting that pulse pressure, knowing that 60 is normal. And if it's over that, it means that the blood isn't efficient. That's going to clue you in. If it's less than 40, where the heart's working really, really hard, and you know, you're talking 120 over 100, that's is significant stress. And so look at the physical, chemical, emotional stressors, and that'll make a big, big, big difference. And she hasn't had the shot, thank God.
Right.
Okay. Okay, now, oh, good. Charles, you got your hand up, brother.
Hey, how you doing, Doc?
Really, really good. How's your world? I miss you, man.
Well, we're back, and I got to, my wife is still bragging about how she got the feeling back in her toe after surgery, after, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. So you guys work wonders out there.
It's like tightening bolts on a Ferrari. You guys are fantastic. You paid attention to health for so long. God, you're the ultimate patient.
a quick follow-up here. Now that we're back and, you know, we're on the program and everything, you know, with the whole bladder healing. The one thing I wanted to ask you, I know nobody knows exactly, but, I mean, it's not unusual that that can take 6 to 8 months before I actually stop seeing, you know, any type of blood and urine or anything like that. Is that, I mean, there's no length to the process, right?
Oh, yeah, it's... You got to figure any kind of damage, okay, it has to heal. And when you're talking moving tissue, it's like if you get cut here, piece of cake, you know, it's going to heal up. If you get cut in a joint where you're always opening and closing that joint, it's going to take freaking forever.
Okay,
and your bladder goes from really, really small, okay, it's kind of like the size of your fist, to really, really big to hold 20 ounces of fluid. Then it goes really, really small. Then it goes really, really big. So you're healing an area that's incredibly mobile. So yeah, you're going to see nothing, nothing, nothing. All of a sudden you're going to see a little bit and then nothing, nothing, nothing.
So will a hyperbaric chamber help in the process, or is that a waste of time and money?
No, it's actually fantastic. But, you know, what kind of things will help heal the body? It's a tissue production thing, okay, and a pelvis thing. And so sitting with that foam block, that's going to restore the nerve supply to that area. And everything that you eat and your diet is excellent, man, okay? You know, anything that you eat is going to start to get, Bella, shh, it's going to start to get in the bloodstream. So if you're eating healthy, healthy food, fantastic. That means the blood's going to be healthy, then the kidney's going to be healthy, then the bladder's going to be healthy. If you want to do damage to it, start getting a lot of fast food, a lot of processed fats, and then the blood will become toxic. Then you're going to tax the kidneys and the bladder.
Okay.
Okay.
The other piece to that, too, is I noticed in my last blood test, it did have some H. pylori in there just a little bit. Is that something to be concerned about, or should I try to treat that?
Well, I don't know. As long as you're human, it's normal in 90% of the population.
Okay.
And according to your x-rays, I think you are human, so it's okay.
All right. I appreciate you, man. Love you.
Love you too, man. Talk to you later. Give your sweetheart a hug.
Okay.
Chris Botha. Chris.
Good evening to you, Doc. How are you doing?
Really good, man. How are you doing?
Always fine. Always, you know, trying to keep up, apart from all the power failures, you know, luckily I've got power tonight. I can listen to you.
No,
first of all, I must. Yes. I mean, we've got here 4 hours on, 4 hours off every day.
Whoa. How long has that been going on for?
Ever since last year, beginning of last year.
And it's never happened before.
No. Shit. This is all, you know, new, and a lot of people are suffering. The businesses are suffering. The farmers cannot produce. So it's hell on earth here at this time of moment.
What's the government giving you for the reason?
Oh, no. It's basically just corruption that has led to all the problems that we've got here in South Africa with the power stations being broken down. And, you know, these Greenpeace idiots promising the earth to these people here, and that they can replace the coal, you know, generating plants to windmills and solar, but it's not going to work. I mean, it's just
Never does. No. Okay. I'm sorry. What's your question? I just need to find out what's going on in Australia.
But
no, you're in South Africa, aren't you?
I'm here. No, it doesn't, my friend. I couldn't hear you, Doc.
Okay, yeah, you're in South Africa, aren't you?
Yes, very much. I'm here in Pretoria. No? Okay, but, so it's been very difficult trying to...
Okay, yeah. So what question do you have? So I asked you how it's going.
My question is...
Yes, yes.
I've got a patient. You know, I've got a patient or client, not a patient, a client that came to me the other day with throat cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started treating him. With ozone and
Chris, Chris, your feed is broken up. If you can, type it in the chat, and then I'll be able to answer it. But your connection is very poor. Chris. Okay, yeah. Okay, good. Chris, you got knocked out. Put your comment in the chat, and I'll get to it, brother. Marv.
Hello, Dr. B.
Hello, my friend. So what's going on?
I'm sorry I can't get my camera working today, but anyway, first of all, thank you for the tip last month to relieve my kidney stones pain after 2.5 gallons of unfiltered apple juice. I got a lot of relief, not out of the woods, but a lot of relief.
Isn't that wild? I know it's the simplest solution.
It really did work. It really, because I was having pain a lot from the kidneys. Anyway, a little humorous quick question. Are you in a Yukon hunting Yeti? I've never seen you dressed up so long.
Yes, we just got down from there. No, it's cold. And I know my wife gives me shit for this, but, you know, it was 45 degrees last night. And I know my son just is in Poland where they had 2 foot of snow.
Yeah.
And I got friends in Alaska that are saying, oh, come on, that's t-shirt weather.
Yeah, in Canada, and I'm originally from New Yorkistan. Yeah, that's warm. At 45 degrees is warm. Well, in Georgia, we got 50 right now.
That's cold.
It is for here, yeah. Okay, I forgot to ask this last month, but I seem to be taking on room temperature. In the morning when I get up, I feel cold under a thick blanket. I take my temperature, it's 95 degrees. I can never raise it above 97. It's about 96 right now. Any theories?
Actually, 96, 97 is that's a normal temperature. 98.6 is like what they're going to say everybody is for everybody, but that's not really the key. It's 97 is what my temperature is. It just means that you're a little cooler. If your hands are cold, and it's not inclement weather like this, okay, then then that makes a lot of sense, because it could be a metabolism problem. And that's going to be vasodilating herbs, so making blood really healthy. Cayenne supplements with each meal is a good thing. But and heat generating herbs like ginger in your juices will also elevate that. But look at just the health of the blood, you know, juicing, blending, all of that stuff will knock it out.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn these things from you. I listen every Tuesday to all your lectures, and I am gaining a lot over these years. I'll make a note of that. I'll work on making the diet and blood more healthy. But I was a little worried. I was taking on room temperature, and I would get up in the morning from under a thick blanket, and I'd be cold all night at 95 degrees.
It's not going to be your body temperature, but there is a temperature regulation in your hypothalamus up inside of the brain area. And the hypothalamus is one of those unique ones where it's 1 foot in the nervous system, 1 foot in the endocrine system. And so if you have a clear connection between the brain and the body, so getting to the chiropractor, making sure that your system is clear of interference, that will help huge. And then make sure you get the 2 to 3 bowel movements a day, because that's going to help with metabolism. And cleaning the blood is going to be one of the keys. Yeah, so you'll be set.
Any chance that it might be a sleepy thyroid? On my blood test a couple months ago, as always, they say, oh, you aced it, except for your cholesterol, baloney. you know, you aced it, your thyroid is fine and this and that. But it's more likely to hypothalamus?
Well, the hypothalamus controls the pituitary controls the thyroid. Okay, so nobody ever has an organ that just malfunctions. Okay, it doesn't just like break. But if you're, as long as you got sufficient nutrients. Now, a lot of people are exposed to chlorine and fluoride and bromine, which is in the bread. And that can negatively affect the thyroid. A leaky gut can negatively affect the thyroid. So the thyroid is just like the red flashing light on the dashboard. Okay, so make sure that you're got, if you have a leaky gut, that'll do it, or iodine deficient will do it, or toxic environmental exposure. As long as you deal with all three of those, then your metabolism would be functioning correctly.
All right, I'll give it a try again. Anyway, last month we discussed briefly my years of peripheral neuropathy in the toes, and you said for my chiro to take more detailed x-rays. Mm-hmm. And he had to scrap his x-ray because of excessive cost repair. But I remember there was a rotated pelvis in the x-rays, and he's still working on me from head to toe. Now, here's what I came across in my reading. I've been buying a whole lot of old books on eBay for real cheap, and came across one called The Alpha Lipoic Acid Breakthrough, written in 1998 by a young MD, Bert Berkson, at that time. Anyway, he actually saved 3 people from dying from poisonous mushrooms. They ate mushrooms and they were scheduled. The ER said they were going to die. They weren't going to live long. He gave them IV, alpha lipoic acid IVs, and he brought them back from the edge of the cliff of death. Anyway, for myself, what I found taking this stuff, I take handfuls, I experiment around a little bit. I increased the dosages from the silly standard 1 capsule that they recommend to a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Anyway, I found that the peripheral neuropathy in the toes were starting to curl over. I couldn't even straighten them out. They were hurting badly. I don't know if I was arthritic or whatever, but you know, losing feeling in them. I was having a balance problem. Started taking a lot of this alpha lipoic acid, and it actually helped. Still not out of the woods, but I was wondering if there's anything else you might suggest to take care of this peripheral neuropathy in the toes.
Just get up to get deep sleep. Alpha lipoic acid is good. Glutathione, okay, is good. That's a good antioxidant. But the peripheral neuropathy has to do with the compromised nerve supply. And that's where you're going to get the numbness tingling or the toe curling or all of that. So you got to stabilize that pelvis and get the disc injuries in the low back addressed. Yes. And then that's going to be huge on helping it. Now, nutrient deficiencies will show up in the feet first. And this is why gout, diabetes, type 2 all show up in the feet. And generally, it's around 70% of the time on the right foot, because the right foot has slightly less blood pressure than the left. So look at disc injuries and your metabolic processes, you know, 2 to 3 healthy bowel movements a day and all that other.
I recall you saying several times that it's compromised nerve supply. I will have the chiropractor keep working on the pelvic area and whatever else he can do.
Cool, man.
Last question, really quick.
Can I have your phone?
This just happened in my one eye a couple of days ago. Both have had cataract surgery years ago, but I have floaters the size of giant amoebas in especially my left eye. And the other day, what looked like a big black centipede, I don't know if that's blood leaking or whatever, but I'm losing sight like big time in that left eye with those amoeba size floaters. Any way to get rid of those floaters?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to get the eye healthy. Now, when you look at the eyeball, you've got muscles all around it. And if you're able to use those muscles, you're going to increase and decrease the pressure in the eye. And then you're going to get a healthiest vitreous humor, the fluid inside there. You're going to get that healthy. But what happens is we're staring at a computer screen where we're not using the extrinsic or the muscles outside of the eye. So what you want to do is keep your head straight and then look up with your eyeballs as hard as you can to 12 o'clock and then down to 6 o'clock. And then 1 o'clock and then 7 o'clock. Okay. So you're really forcing, go around the whole, imaginary clock like that. And you're going to feel, it's hard to do because you have to really force your eyes off as hard as you can one way, as hard as you can the other way. And that will increase and decrease the pressure. It's also great for glaucoma. That thing works really, really well. And then work the intrinsic muscles of the eye where you look at a point 20 foot away from you and then stare at your finger. Then look 20 feet away from you, then stare at your finger, because you're going to dilate for distance and constrict for up close. So all of that, and what's wild is before you do that clock exercise, look at a point on the wall or something that might be a little blurry, do that exercise, and you're going to see it's going to be clear after you do it. And I do that clock probably 2-3 times, 4 times a day.
I need to hang out more with you. You got all these cool off the wall exercises and things. I've heard about that for improving eyesight, and other silly YouTube videos say, well, eat a lot of pineapple or this or that, and your floaters disappear. I've had these floaters for years, especially in the left eye, like a giant amoeba.
yeah, just work that eye and you're gonna see, you know, beautiful vitreous humor production.
I will try that, and I'm for anything that and your kidney cure for me did work, so I'll try that. I believe you.
That's cool, man.
All right, okay. Watch out for those yeti there in California.
I know, dress like this and I'm in California. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
See you, man. Okay. All there's
right,
a
right.
Josh in the chat said he met a girl who was double jabbed a couple of years back. She's not getting any more. No side effects. She's currently detoxing and has woken up. Could there be any fertility or long-term issues? There could be. Okay. But the neat thing about human beings is every 120 days, the blood is brand new. So you're always, always breaking down and building up. Nobody knows how long the spike proteins are going to be produced by your cells. That's an unknown quotient. I've seen studies 14 to 18 months that show the spike proteins are still being produced, and those are toxic and inflammatory. And the mRNA tend to migrate over to the ovaries and uterus. This is why we see a lot of menstrual cycle changes. But get her, you know, physical, chemical, and emotional stress dealt with, and just keep her healthy. And the body should be able to clear this, but it's an unknown quotient. But there may be some fertility issues. And just make sure she looks at her pelvis, look at the physical structure to make sure that she's able to adapt. So this means x-rays, digital x-rays, chemical stress that could be poor sleep patterns, and emotional stress. Okay. You know, shooter's remorse. Okay. Dealing with all three of those, then she's going to have the healthiest tissue production and be able to adapt to the toxins of the spike protein, but also be able to produce healthy new cells. Bobby G. Bobby G, you got your hand up.
Yeah, no, I'm off mute now. Dr. B, it's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Brother, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I got a goal this October or late September to hike the Grand Canyon rim to rim to rim. And so I'm starting my training on that. And that's where my question begins. When I lift weights, and I'm not a weightlifter, never really been much, but from time to time, I'll join my crew at work and lift some. And I always end up with like numbness in my arms the next day or day after, like, you know, waking me up at night. Any way to prevent that or what's causing that or to work with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely coming from the neck.
Okay.
You got to get x-rays from the side view, front view, neck, thoracic area, and the lumbar. So look at the entire structure, because if you have a lumbar disc, then the whole body could be off to the side. And this could be your normal position, except that's going to compromise nerve supply to it. Also, look at the lifting technique. You're never going to see like those big weightlifters, okay, lift like this. They're going to lift their, put their chin up, and then they lift. And so that restores the curve in the neck, restoring the nerve supply down to the arms. And then also look at muscle imbalances. You've got muscles that close the hand, muscles that open the hand. It, always grabbing and stuff creates an imbalance of the flexors. So look at our carpal tunnel video and getting a small number 32 rubber band, and you're going flower bud to claw, flower bud to claw. And the rubber band's on the outside, and you're going to get a burning on the back of your arm, and it is a trip. But more than likely, it's coming from the neck. Finding out and correcting that is going to be huge.
Oh, are you there?
Did we lose you, Bobby?
Yeah, I'm here now. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Did you get that answer?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I got most of the answer there. So, yeah, no, that helps. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Cool, brother. Have fun on the hike. It's going to be a blast.
Will do. I'll let you know how it goes. Thanks.
Gina Anderson.
Hi, Dr. B. Nice to see you.
Hello, my dear. Nice to see you. What's going on?
I have a question for you. One is, do you take iodine or do you have that in your regular supplements? What is your opinion on that?
Yeah, iodine, every day I take it.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. But we take it, I do about 10 drops in a shot glass of water, about an ounce and a half, with a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
Every morning. And it's good to detox. But also we're having, you know, we're still getting radiation from Fukushima. So it's a good idea to just have that extra material there. And then we have so much exposure to fluoride, chlorine, and bromine that if you're deficient in iodine, then that's a bummer.
That's good to hear. Thank you. And I'm a castor oil lover now, thanks to you. I use that often now. I never have in my life for different things. But my last question is back to the gentleman that had floaters. I have the same thing, but worse all of a sudden. And they're jelly like. They're not like the normal black floaters. They are like amoebas. I was glad that he said that word because it's exactly what I have. Any supplements or something, or just the exercise is the best thing for that, that you said?
As long as you've got, because it's a tissue production problem. So as long as you get the 2 to 3 healthy bowel movements a day, you've got good juicing and blending. And if you look at the filtration, kidneys, lungs, and then you've got the good bowel movements. So apples actually clean the kidneys because they got the malic acid. Carrots are going to clean the lungs, and that's another lung filter. And if your blood's healthy, like let's say you've done a live blood cell analysis, then fantastic. Okay, you're going to be good to go. Your blood's going to be healthy. Then doing those exercises will be, you know, incredibly effective. Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
What was that?
I said very good, and thank you. I'm going to catch you the next one. I'll save up.
Okay, my dear, take care.
Take care.
And bye-bye. Enjoy that exercise. It's really fun.
Thank you.
Okay. And I've got in the message, Chris Botha. We had the internet problem. He has a client with stage 4 cancer and has been into the hospital. He can't swallow any fluid or food anymore. Advice. I just got out of my ozone capsule, going to bed to sweat out junk into my body. Okay. Yeah. If he can't swallow anything, the IV nutrients are going to be the key. With the being in a hospital without the interventions of the chemotherapy, the surgery, the radiation, if they're doing those interventions, you've got to get a huge amount of antioxidants. And if you look at the number one cause of throat cancer, it's going to be from low stomach acid. So if he's had a history of taking antacids, particularly the proton pump inhibitors, those increase adenocarcinomas in the throat. So look at chronic digestive disorders as leading to this cause. You know, also certain irritants, like if you're, nutrient deficient is going to be one, poor bowel function is another. But you've got to look at cancer. Particularly if it's in the throat, breast, colon, whatever, it's a problem in the entire body. It's presenting locally. So have the guy look at the physical, chemical, emotional stress. The only way you can get nutrients in is either through a feeding tube or through IVs. And the IVs, if he's had heavy metal exposure, you've got to get EDT chelation and then get Myers cocktail to put the nutrients back in. Blood ozone is one of the greatest things to do for cancers. And you could do blood ozone, oral ozone, rectal ozone to get massive oxygen in the system. And then you've got to change and get antioxidants after a few hours of that therapy to clean up the dead tissue. So the blood ozone and antioxidants are going to be huge. If he had the COVID shot, just get as much glutathione as you can in him, or alpha lipoic acid. That's the precursor. So as many antioxidants as you can get in here, and check out to see if there is a loss of curve in the neck or a structural issue as well. Judy, you
hi,
have your...
Doc.
Hello, my dear. What's going on?
How are you today? Good.
Yeah. It's starting to warm up.
Okay. It was snowing here, so you're a little warmer than we are.
Yeah. And I'm dressed warmer than you are.
Yeah. So I am calling. I have a question about my son-in-law. He is 45 years old and he works on heating and air conditioning, and he cut one of his tendons in his finger. He had surgery to repair it on October of 2022, and it is not healing. It's mm-hmm. swollen. He can't bend it. It was near the knuckle, and he went to the doctor, and they diagnosed him with CRPS, and they want to do a stellate ganglio block in his neck.
Of course they do.
And I'm like, no way.
Okay. Anytime somebody says syndrome, okay, know that they don't have a clue.
Okay.
So chronic regional pain syndrome is a complete misnomer. what happens in any kind of a trauma, and the cut in the tendon is a trauma and the surgery is a trauma.
Yes.
Okay, you're going to have an autonomic dysfunction. So the nerve block inside of the neck is dumber. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. He's going to have a problem with the thoracic area as well. He may also, and there's a thing called reflex sympathetic dystrophy, where the arteries that supply the extremities, the arm, hands, and everything, they can constrict or dilate. So he may even notice that if there's a temperature change, that his hand's going to hurt. Okay, so he's got a problem with the central nervous system, and it's coming out of the neck. Honest to goodness, he's just got to get digital x-rays of the entire body. He's got to restore that curve in the neck. The antibiotics they gave him post-surgery are going to damage his gut flora. So he's going to have a leaky gut as well. So probiotics, prebiotics, fermented foods to build that gut flora. He's got to change his sleep pattern because the sleep patterns are going to be horrible. You know, every time he rolls over, it's going to wake him up. So look at our sleep restriction videos, heal his gut, look at his structure to restore that curve. Even if he just starts to get that curve back in his neck, okay, to restore the nerve supply and blood supply to the area, that's going to make a big, big, big difference. But that ganglion block, I've seen them before, and they never, ever, ever work. Okay, temporary relief, I've seen at best maybe a month, but it's not lack of nerve block. Okay, right. It's literally there for a reason.
Okay, and I'm suggesting we have a red light therapy panel. I'm thinking that might help.
Oh, hell yes. Okay. Absolutely. The red light therapy is fantastic, but it's not just on the hand. Put it on the gut as well and make sure he's getting that curve in the neck. There's a ton of exercises we got to get that curve back.
Okay. And we also have a vibration plate. Would that help him as well?
Oh, heck yeah, man. That's good for lymph. But really, you got to get some x-rays to look at the structure.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, it's kind of like doing any kind of therapy on the hand with compromised nerve supply to it. It's not going to really work.
Okay. All right. I'll see if I can light a fire under them.
Awesome, dear. Awesome.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
All right. Bye.
Okay. iPhone, you have your hand up.
Wish you would told me you were going to ask a question.
iPhone. Okay. Well, iPhone, while you're waiting.
Hi, Mr. Bergman.
Hello. How you doing, dear?
I'm doing great. I was being polite by muting so you wouldn't be, so they wouldn't have any interference. Anyway, thank you for all your information. I listened to most of everything that I signed up for, including the Health Academy. My husband is 71. He has easily bruised skin, like arms and so forth. Can you show it to him? I don't know if you can see them or not. Can you see it?
Yep.
Look at this.
Yeah, now. Everyone. What 71. Kind of medication?
Go ahead.
Okay, what kind of medications?
Pressure. Tell him.
Yeah, it's going to be blood pressure, cholesterol, you know, all of that stuff. Yeah, so this is a tissue production problem. The most common are blood thinners. The most common drugs that cause this are blood thinners, and that means the blood is not efficient. The blood pressure drugs are also dangerous, and you don't really need it. Okay, all you got to do is deep breathe 10 minutes before you check your blood pressure, and you're going to find out. But understand that blood pressure elevates under stress. And so if you're not going to address the stressors and you just take a chemical to lower it, that doesn't make sense. And it's like if they diagnosed you with elevations in blood sugar or cholesterol, all of those.
My cholesterol and all that was really good. My A1C and all is perfect.
Cool.
We really.
Cool. Okay.
But I do have a ruptured disc and, you know, I've had back surgery to relieve the arthritis out of the nerves canal so it doesn't press on the nerve.
Mm-hmm. Get to a corrective chiropractor.
What? A little little elevation of blood pressure.
Okay, what part of the world do you guys live in?
Florida.
Florida? Yeah, use our seven questions because you got to get to a corrective chiropractor. And one of the questions is, do you work on post-surgery patients? Okay, so you have got an unstable pelvis, and the pelvis is part of the rest, digest, and repair. Okay, and your sleep patterns aren't good because you're getting up at night to pee a few times, more than likely. Okay, and that's when the body regenerates. So this is not a bruising thing. It's an alarm, red flashing light to say there's a problem. Okay, it's a tissue production problem. So we got to look at the physical stress by getting digital x-rays of the entire body. And I'll work with any chiropractor if they have any questions on how to correct the problem. Chemical stressors is poor sleep. Poor sleep is a chemical stress. And emotional components too, to neurolinguistic programming. But you're going to find out by looking at our blood pressure videos, just deep breathing, you're not going to have a blood pressure issue. But you do
when
have.
When I sleep at night, I lay my head down, 5 minutes I'm gone. I only wake up once to have to relieve myself and because I have an enlarged prostate. And other than that, I sleep good.
Yeah, yeah, aside from not sleeping through the night, you sleep good.
Yes.
You know, what are you you know, come on. No, I've heard this stuff before. I had this one mom bring her 10-year-old kid in with asthma and headaches. And I said, well, the headaches we're going to knock out, but the asthma is going to be, we're going to fix that too. And she said, no, he doesn't have asthma. He takes his inhaler and he's fine. Brother. The thank God for the bruising, otherwise you wouldn't be addressing the underlying problem. The unstable pelvis is going to be a cause or contributing factor to the prostate issues. And the prostate's got to heal too. So physical, chemical, emotional stress, you get a tissue production up, and then your skin's going to be bulletproof.
Okay. We're in the Tampa Bay area, so we will fill out those seven questions today, and then someone would contact us with a list of people that are here in the Tampa Bay area?
No, darling. You got to get on the phone and say, hi, do you take x-rays? No? Click. Hi, do you take x-rays? Good. Okay, cool. Do you take post x-rays to document that you actually fixed the freaking problem? No? Click. Do you work on post-surgery victims? Okay? No? Click. Okay? And you're looking at 10%. So,
I've had MRIs of my neck and spine down through the hip.
No, he's asking the chiropractor. You know you're right, because our chiropractor doesn't even have the equipment, so you're correct.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so since you're looking at 10% of the chiropractors out there are actually corrective, maybe less, so you're going to have to call at least 10, 11 offices to find one.
Got it.
Okay, and I'll walk them through because we got to get stress x-rays of the lumbar, stress x-rays of the neck. We got to get x-rays of the rib cage area. Your pelvis is unstable. Okay, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff, okay, that we got to get your system working.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bergman.
Okay, have fun. Bye-bye. God bless you too. Okay. Now, I'm looking here. Okay, here's one from Barry to everyone. What is the best simple regular exercise to strengthen a weak neck from poor posture? And how good are Vega machines? I don't know what a Vega machine is, but the spine gets its strength from the curves. So the best way to strengthen it is to get the curves back. But the one thing that people miss when they're looking at the neck, it's not the weak neck. Look at the rib cage and lumbar as well, because if you have a problem with the thoracic area, then your body's going to be leaning forward to round over those shoulders to de-stress it out, and the head's going to be thrown further forward. So when we talk about stabilizing that pelvis, that's a water bottle, 4 inches that goes behind your back. And then it's placed back there 20 minutes in, 10 minutes out. And so 20 minutes in, 10 minutes out. But by restoring the curve in the back, it's going to de-stress out the thoracic area. And then you're going to see a heck of a lot less stress on the cervical spine. Okay, now, Christina Roosman. Christina, are you there, my dear?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yep, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Oh, wait, is this an AT&T commercial? But Mom, I'm calling. You never call.
Exactly. This is my first time doing all this, so I don't really know how to operate everything.
You did good.
Okay. I help ease my mind about x-rays. I'm a big natural, organic, vegan person, and you know, I try to steer clear of radiation. So I understand why x-rays are necessary because I've watched many of your shows. Are they something we need to worry about? I mean,
not at all. There's an article called X-ray Phobia by Deed Harris. Deed Harris. Okay. Now, Harrison, he's a brilliant guy. I mean, and he's one of the most published and the most researched, biomechanic, chiropractors on the planet.
Okay.
And he has done the nth degree. In fact, low dose x-rays actually have a hermetic effect on the body. Okay. And we can shoot 72 of our largest films within a 30-day period. And one of our series, you get the same amount of radiation as if you're standing in Washington, D.C. for 3 hours, you know, from solar radiation.
Right.
So digital x-rays are a whole different world from back the analog, and a whole different world from what they were 30, 40, 50 years ago. But you got to read the article because he goes through and compares it with sunlight.
Okay. So, okay. No, I absolutely will. I didn't know about that. So
yeah. It's you know what? In fact, I can email Justin the article because it's, wait, you know what? Hey, wait a second. I got an idea.
You might message it to me.
Okay. Let me see. Cause I think, it would be too much time. I'd have to go back in and see where it is.
I'm sure I can find it. I can search it and Google it. And if not, I'll send you guys an email.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I'm looking for this one, and it's X-ray Phobia. And I might have it where I can screen share it with you.
Okay.
And VX.
And what did you say his name is? It's Harris is the last name.
Yeah, Deed.
Deed.
Deed Harris. Harrison.
Last name. Okay. Never heard that first name. Okay.
I know. No, his dad was amazing too. No, I don't have it there. Here, I'm gonna look in one more thing.
Okay.
And x-ray protocols. No, I don't have it. Bummer.
Okay.
So yeah.
The x-rays are probably a whole lot less harmful than the frequency noise I hear at night from the 5G towers and everything going on.
Oh, hell yes.
Try to lay down and sleep. You can't have that silence anymore because there's that little beam.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I mean, I wish there was some way to block that out. It's just so annoying. So much for the pursuit of happiness anymore.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have, people, God, just thinking about health and you know, not understanding that there's not any kind of electromagnetic field could be dangerous.
Yes.
And that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Now, this, No, I still don't have that. Oh, bummer. Okay, yeah. No, because I know a lot of people have that question, and I was looking through my computer to see if I could find it.
Okay. Thank you for trying.
Okay. Okay.
I'll find it.
Okay. Okay, cool. And don't worry about them. And with anything, there's a risk benefit ratio. Okay. The benefit of identifying the problem, okay, and showing that you corrected it is infinitely better than one evening exposure to 5G.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, dear.
Stay warm.
Okay. God is God. Your hand is up.
Hi, Dr. B. This is Carlita again from Texas.
Hi, Carlita. How are you doing, my dear?
I'm okay, sir. So I wanted to give you an update from our last video chat. I'm the gal that is an advocate on behalf of my children's father there in California, in San Diego. So on the 26th, and there's going to be a couple of topics here. So since I last talked with you, he was rushed to Scripps Green, La Jolla. He had two infections, one in the pancreas and one in the gallbladder. The doctor that evening repaired the infection, let him recover, and then at...
How did he repair the infection?
Doctors from the previous hospital, they put in stents. The stents were too short. So that's what caused the infection.
Wow.
There was sepsis in the blood system also, he said. So at the time of recovery, because he was transferred under duress to Scripps Green, so they had to immediately input him into ICU, let him recover. That evening, he did that procedure because he needed consent. A couple of days later, he called. He said that he was on the decline. There was supposed to be an improvement. He went back in. There was infection in the gallbladder. So he needed consent to do that procedure. And there was a stent replaced in. It took him several days to awaken from ICU. So now that he's been discharged from from Scripps Green, he's now in subacute. On the 26th, and I'm going kind of fast here because I know you don't have much time. On the 26th, in a couple of days, the oncologist wants to meet with the family. From Scripps Green, he was submitted into the subacute care for improving his strength. We are asking daily what progress has he been making from the time of admission to where he is now. And so his functional status is poor. The oncologist is saying that 2 weeks ago, he was going to administer 2 agents of chemo. He can no longer do that because the patient now is weak. The bag is still inserted in the gallbladder. And so it would be risky for them to go in, take that bag out, or even take out the gallbladder.
Okay, yeah. If you can, because his body is getting toxic. And the liver is one of the filters. And that's with all the stuff that he's gone through. What part of the world are you guys living in?
I'm in Texas. He's in San Diego. So I'll be traveling home in the next week or so.
Okay. Have him, if you can, get him across into Mexico. Okay. Get blood ozone is going to be hugely important for him. And they don't do that up in America. Okay. They oral ozone, rectal ozone, that's going to hyperoxygenate the blood. That's going to be ideal if he can. Okay. Now, God, we got to get some IV nutrients in him. The super high dose vitamin C. In America, I think they're limited like 25 grams. We do 100 grams at our clinic in Mexico. There's also Coley's toxin, which, there's multiple hospitals down there that, can do therapies that they can't do up here. So that if he can cross the border, if he has a passport.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, saying that you're not strong enough for chemotherapy, anytime someone's in a weakened condition, the idea of chemotherapy is so damn stupid. It's like the disease is attacking the body. And that's their theory. So if you kill these fast-growing cells faster than they grow, and that's why people lose hair and skin and bowel and throw up and everything. So they literally give it, it's a derivative of mustard gas. Okay. And that doesn't make sense because the body forms tumors. The body literally forms the cancer based on a toxic environmental exposure. And so to eliminate that, you've got to look at the physical, chemical, emotional stress and get as many nutrients in the system to facilitate the body's formation of those tumors or formation of the cancers. And then you got to restore the nerve supply and blood supply to the affected areas. And all cancers are systemic. They're in the whole body. They present locally. So it's not just one organ or one problem. Okay. It's in the entire system. And that's why you got to approach it with a systemic view.
Yes, because his recommendation is to place him into hospice. And so my concern that I was addressing with the children, what's the purpose of hospice? He said, because even though his strength isn't there, or the numbers aren't there for the PT, from the PT and the OT, maybe he can go into hospice and get his strength, and then they can come back and bring up the subject of chemo again, because what he wants to do is administer two type of agents of chemo. What I'm telling my children is that absolutely not, because this is poison going inside his body. Listen, if he's recovering from these deadly infections, why are we continuing to go down this rat race? It doesn't make sense to me.
Dear, we could blame your parents for giving you too much common sense.
Sorry.
No, I love your parents. If they were here, I'd hug them. And it's true. It's true. I mean, what you're saying is logical. It makes sense. And what I tell patients, anything you do that helps your body or its metabolic processes to recover from the chronic disease is good. Anything you do that weakens those processes is bad. I mean, that's honest to God what you're saying. I'm with you, dear. It's a voice crying in the wilderness. If he is ambulatory where you can get him moving, I'd recommend a different course than your family's going along with. But it's so easy for a family member to say, look, they're the experts. Go with them. Except the experts are fools. They're doing therapies that they've been doing for 40 years that still doesn't work.
Right. And I would agree with you, Dr. B, because I was telling him yesterday, I said, okay, this is where now I'm going to step in. So I'm coming to get you. I'm going to have you discharged out of there because I'm asking him questions. Do you want to come home? Because I need for him to be removed from out of that facility. Because I was telling him yesterday, I said, the doctors are slowly killing you as you're slowly dying. Mm-hmm. Now, yep. It's not their time. It's God's timing. Mm-hmm. So I said, there's still cures to this. And I'm holding out hope. So I told my kids, listen, I'm on my way because there's going to be some change.
Yeah.
But I need for Dad to be on board to allow me to discharge him out of there.
Yep. Yeah, that's one of the brilliant guys that taught me. Said, we're not in the judgment business, okay? Our job is to do as much as we can to give that person as much life as they can. And God's going to take them when they're going to take them. And so that whole predicting, well, you have 3 months to live or 6 months to live or this, hell no. They're pulling those recommendations out of their ass. You know, it's, I've seen the most horrible, horrible diseases recover. And every time I trust the body to heal, the body responds in kind. It does. Okay, my dear.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
God bless you too. Okay. And this one here is for Christina. You gotta love the community here. Okay. This is Deed Harrison. Okay. And this is the 7 reasons why it should not be feared. And it goes through and it is just absolutely brilliant. Okay. just a little side note there. Okay, now, Avelina, your hand is up, my dear.
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
Yep, perfectly. What's going on?
Thank you. I just had my first experience with a chiropractor over the past like 6 months, and I was guided to go there through a cranial sacral that my atlas needed to be adjusted. So I went, and they did the x-rays, and it was really crooked. They did an adjustment, straightened it out. So I've been going to this person, and about 3 weeks in, I started getting back pain, lower back pain. And I find it ironic that I didn't have any back pain before, but as soon as I started going to the chiropractor, I was getting back pain, and he's an upper cervical. And so eventually I thought, okay, well, it's just adjusting and my body's adjusting. But then not too long ago, about a month ago, and I've since stopped going to this person, but we did another set of x-rays. And initially the x-ray was out, my atlas was even more crooked than the initial visit. So, and then he did an adjustment again, and it sort of straightened out. So what I gather from it is he's getting an adjustment. It straightens out, but then it immediately goes back. And the atlas is actually seems to be overcompensating because it's not happy where it is. So there's apparently something else happening.
Guaranteed.
But the back pain is still there. And so I've stopped going to this person. So I'm not really sure at this point how to correct it.
No, no. Now, was he solely adjusting the upper cervical? He wasn't taking care of anything else?
Yes. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. For 9 years, I worked with an upper cervical guy doing head clamps, three-dimensional x-rays. I mean, it was brilliant training. There was a doctor, Kuhn, who practiced over 60 years in Huntington, only adjusted C1, and he got people back pain, neck pain, everything better. The ones he couldn't get, like yours, he would send down to us. Okay. So if you're keep adjusting the same one, you're missing the spot, just like what you're thinking. Right. Okay. Yeah. The back pain, that's not a concern. Only 10% of the nerves that come off the spine are at carry pain fibers. So, you know, like I feel great. I reach, my back goes out. Okay, was I fine there?
That's exactly what it is. It's not constant. It's only like a certain times when I move, and it's like a muscle. It's a muscle tightness.
Yep. Yeah. You got to get digital x-rays of the entire structure. Like if you're looking at your foot, is your big toe leaning towards the other toes?
My feet are pretty straight.
Okay, if the toe's going straight or away from the other toes beautifully. If it is leaning towards the other toes or at the base of the big toe, you see a little bit of a prominence there. Typically, that means that the pelvis is compromised, altering nerve supply to the foot. Okay, and the pelvis is half of the autonomic nervous system, resting, digesting, and repairing. Okay, it's just that would be a clue because the toe is supposed
they kind of go, like the big toes go out a little bit more towards the smaller toes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Because a foot should be going, or a normal foot, the toe goes away from the other toes.
Okay.
And don't blame the high heel shoes. Don't blame that. Okay.
I don't wear those, so thankfully, but yes.
Okay, yeah. So you've got to get the set of x-rays that Justin has. So we're talking bending films of the low back, stress films of the neck. You've got to look at the entire structure because it's not just, I mean, just the way you're sitting, your head's tilted like this. So, you know, it's probably going to be anterior on the left, but that's not the whole thing. You're going to be missing a curve in the neck, possibly an altered curve in the low back, you know, pelvic instability, something.
Yeah.
Something.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to find somebody that's going to correct it. But the fact that he's taken an x-ray and he took a post x-ray to document, that's gold. That's gold.
And
if you want to work with this guy and he wants to learn how to correct the whole body, we'll set up a no charge consultation, you, me, him. We get online and I'll say, look, this is why we want to get stress x-rays of the lumbar, even though she's, you know, you're only complaining a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's not too bad, but sometimes it feels, you know, pretty, it can hinder me from like bending over and getting dressed sometimes. So,
okay. Well, look, number one thing, look at our pelvic video or pelvic health video.
So,
you're going to see, you use a quart water bottle 20 minutes in, 10 minutes out, but it's placed high, right at the junction of the rib cage and low back, that'll make a big difference. If you're sitting in the chair, put your legs out really, really wide. Okay. And that will feel better because that's going to approximate the pelvis. That'll be huge.
Okay. Interesting. I'm linking some other things that I have with the pelvis, and it's like I'm getting some like a lot of things coming together. So thank you. Yeah.
I know. The body's smart. It gives symptoms for a reason. Okay, dear.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. Now, actually, there's no more in the chat. And actually, we've been going an hour and a half. Okay. And it's 41 degrees in Georgia. Hey, it's freaking cold here too. So this has been fun. There's DG and my sweetheart. we're watching a friend's autistic son. So it's been an adventure. All those parents that have autistic or special needs kids that don't listen, holy moly, as bad as you could imagine, it's worse. And as good as you can imagine, it's better. I mean, we got so many hugs and kisses from the kid last night when we took him to Whole Foods, and we got him like some bananas and things. And he just goes up there and kisses Sarah on the cheek. And it's just a lot of love, a lot of love. Okay. Well, God bless you all. I think that was a blast. There's no more questions. And I'll see you next month sometime. I'm probably going to be doing it from Thailand. So we're going to have to work out whatever the time is there and time is here. Okay. Well, God bless you all. I'll see you later.